making up the numbers no more. The Pies stunned the Eagles in the West, setting up a cutthroat meeting with an inaccurate Geelong. Soldiers down for the Saints. Three St Kilda regulars set to miss the all-or-nothing Richmond clash. So close yet so far. Claremont lose all of their deciders, making it a day to forget. It's semi-final week with Lindsay Thomas on the Centre Square podcast. Let's get into it.
And I declare the winner of the 2019 Brownlow Medal, Nathan Fife of the Fremantle Football Club.
Sheed from the mound. Needs to be in perfect. He yells. He's got the most impossible goal. From inside the centre square, Boyd kicked the goal.
Semi-final week, and we're closing in on the Centre Square episodes here in the 91.3 Sport FM studios, your football headquarters. Cal, Noah, what exciting qualifying and elimination finals. They were topped off by a nerve-wracking but awesome finish to the Waffle Grand Final day. Glad to have you back. How's things?
Yeah, great week of football all around, I thought. But yeah, no, other than that, I'm going well. Cal?
I'm pumped.
He's stoked with his Pies.
I'm stoked. Like, I was that nervous in the last about 2 minutes of that Collingwood game. But my boys got over the line. When Treloar kicked that ball inside 50 going for goal and it's bounced on its point, bounced back straight to McGovern, I thought it was 2018 grand final.
McGovern was good there, though.
I didn't even want to look at the TV, but not my favourite player in the Collingwood side, but Ethan's favourite player in the Collingwood side, Taylor Adams.
Oh, Taylor Adams is the GOAT.
Clutch mother, but yeah.
You got to give him some love. Surely you've given him a bit of love after that. I know you don't like him.
Just a little bit.
He was on the Triple M. Who was the best player? It was three players, and he was in there. Yeah. And 24 disposals, a goal, game-winning smother.
In my eyes, though, he probably wasn't our best player.
Well, that's your opinion.
Levi Greenwood was elite.
Yeah, he was good. He stopped Tim Kelly.
He was elite.
And yeah. Another thing on Taylor Adams quickly, Matthew Lloyd said he should be the future captain of Collingwood.
Probably will be.
27 years old, so Pendles probably have a couple years left as captain, or in the league. But if you're a North Melbourne or Port Adelaide supporter, or just a general footy nuffy, I wouldn't go anywhere because Lindsay Thomas, we all know what he did on the footy field. He's set to join us. We can't wait for that too. Before we get to that, we'll do what we usually do. It's become a trend. Run through the segments with Cal. You got In Strife. So, Cal, who's under the pump?
All right. First off, we've got an In Strife favourite, or someone who seems to be in here every week, Kane Corns. He wasn't the only one to say, but he said Collingwood were making up the numbers and were no chance to beat the Eagles, which obviously he was proved wrong, then caught mountains of it on social media.
He did admit he was wrong, but still in strife.
But to be fair, he wasn't the only one.
Mm.
So he can't cut him a little bit of slack.
Yeah.
But not much slack, because it's Kane Corns. So. Next one, Geelong for missing their opportunity in front of the big sticks. As exceptional as Tom Hawkins has been in 2020, he missed crucial shots. He rushed a few, a couple of those snaps. Could have just taken his time, gone back, kicked them. Would have changed the game completely. And, yeah, so he'll want to fix that in the Collingwood game coming up.
Mm.
Otherwise, it could be straight sets again for the Catters.
I feel like they, ever since that 2011 flag, they've just failed.
Four, I'm sure they're cursed.
Failed so much in finals.
I think
it's
4-13.
I think
or
they just don't
13.
Have a finals winning culture. Mm. You know how teams just find a way?
Mm.
They don't find a way.
Mm. And there was a bit of talk, because obviously with Chris Scott, his first year was 2011 when they won the premiership.
Yeah,
there's a bit of talk of whether he, like obviously, you know, they won the 2009 grand final. I think they made top four in 2010. So it's not as if he just sort of changed the way
thing. Anyone?
Oh, yeah.
Next one. The Claremont Footy Club is a bit of waffle stuff now. Are in strife for heading into 2021 as they lost all three grand finals on Sunday. And they're probably minor favourites in all three. Maybe not the reserves ones because these Perth were undefeated for the whole year. But the Colts one, they finished top.
Yeah.
And
beat Subi twice. Yeah.
And the
Colts and the league, they knocked off South Fremantle in the first final. So, yeah. And didn't really help with Kane Mitchell getting injured in the first quarter, and
a few Colts boys probably going to get drafted, you would think. So they wouldn't want to think as a wasted year and sort of have to go through like a rebuild now or something.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not a wasted year if they're making the grand final, but yeah, disappointing for losing all three. Yeah, exactly. And the finals tipping leaderboard is underway. Noah, can you announce them for us, please?
I'd be more than happy to.
Honoured.
I'll start at the bottom, as I always do.
Surprising.
It's probably been my home over this year, but I've graduated, to say the least. Ethan, 0 from 4.
Oh, boy.
Can I just say something quickly?
Oh, boy.
Can I just say something? I know I'm on zero, but surely I get something for tipping the Simpson medalist. I tipped Jai Bolton to win the medal. He won it in a losing side.
Nah. This is AFL tipping, not waffle tipping, Ethan. So
It's
not a hard tip. Well, no, why does everyone tip Jai Bolton then? Only me and Bray did.
If you tip the Norm Smith medalist, then you get double points.
Okay, all right.
Because that's AFL, but this is waffle, so it did not count.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Callan.
Oh, boy.
1 out of 4.
Got the Collingwood game right, so I take it.
The only one that matters.
Save me.
Bray, 2 out of 4. Luca, 3 out of 4. And myself, on top.
4 out of 4.
This is flip. It's upside down the leaderboard right now.
I'm just going to touch on it. You know what they say, big players stand up in finals. And I've stood up when it counted most. Been terrible all year. Finals come around. Unbeatable.
Come at the moment, come as a champion.
Surely you can't lose me.
Starting off,
Richmond St Kilda.
Yeah, Richmond St Kilda. Ethan.
So the winner versus Port Adelaide. Richmond expected to bring Tom Lynch back in. They missed his presence on Friday a lot. Paddy Ryder, who was very emotional, goes out with a hamstring after playing an important role against the Bulldogs. Jake Carlisle, he won't play. He's going home for the birth of his child. So obviously, you know, he's trying to sort out his priorities. And Ben Long, he won't play for his hit on Jack McRae.
They are challenging that, though.
Tomorrow night, yeah. The tribunal.
The Saints are no easy beats, but they want to make sure they didn't play the way that they did at the end. They want to finish the game off strong. As you saw with the Bulldogs game, they almost choked, didn't they?
They did.
When Caleb Daniel kicked their goal, Libba kicked a goal.
Ethan, who are you tipping for this one?
It's too hard to go past Richmond. I said St Kilda no easy beats, but yeah, Richmond will be hungry.
I'm going Richmond as well. I did put a bet on St Kilda to make the grand final, though, at the start of the final series. And if they make the grand final, I get $39, so I'm kind of hoping St Kilda win, but I'm tipping Richmond.
Oh, boy. St Kilda are going to struggle without a key defender.
Mm.
Revolt or Lynch is going to run a mark. No, Ruck Jewel will be even now, because no Paddy Ryder, so
I suppose Rowan Marshall has developed nicely.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be pretty even now in the rut, so I'm going to go Richmond.
And Luke has gone Richmond, and Bray's also gone Richmond.
Yeah. Next one, Geelong versus Collingwood. Winner versus Brisbane. These two sides have met numerous times over finals in the last 10 years, or 10 to 15 years, actually. Both having their fair share of wins to each other, you could say. And it feels like this is the match where the superstars will come into it a fair bit, as it is a do-or-die final with no tomorrow for one of them. Mason Cox could be dangerous if he gets off the chain.
He could be.
Yeah, he doesn't need a lot of the ball, only 6 touches.
I love Mason Cox. He's my favourite. Nah, I reckon, well, if I tip Geelong, I'd be like Bray Loveridge, I'd be a plastic fan. So I'm going to tip Collingwood. They know what it's like in a do-or-die final. Played in one last week. I reckon they played their hardest final last week for the whole final series. So
I saw Scott Penderbury say during the week he's felt like he's all his life, all his AFL career, he's just played finals against Geelong on the West Coast.
Yeah. I think he's played like 11 or 14. Obviously, 20-something.
It's an interesting story. Right, I think the Dangerfield, Selwood, Penderbury, like, all these guys, it's just going to be like a classic
rivalry.
I'm going to go Collingwood, though. I don't know. I just have a feeling about them. And I'll probably be barracking for them as well. So I think that's going to help my sort of, tip. You know when, like, you're barracking for someone. Yeah. Like, I was going for them Collingwood on the weekend, but I tipped West Coast. So it was kind of hard.
It gives you more of an incentive to watch the game as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Pies.
I'm going to go Geelong. A bit of strategy in this. Luke is coming second in the tipping leaderboard. And he's gone Geelong as well. So I'm sort of going for the win, and part of another reason I've tipped Geelong is because it's hard to see Collingwood after playing such a tough game last week going again the week after. I feel like Geelong maybe have a little bit more in the tank.
So yeah, mate. Yeah, that's
potentially.
Yeah,
Selwood's half fit with his finger.
Also, Tom Hawkins, 3 goals plus this week, no doubt. He's a great player.
Jordan Rufford has not had more than 2 goals kicked on him in a game this year. Last time they versed each other was 1 goal to Tom Hawkins.
Tom Hawkins is going to come out firing.
And Bray's not here on the run sheet, but he did say Geelong. He didn't want to send his tips in until 10 a.m. today because he said, there's still 5 days to the game. Exactly. What if a Dustin Martin gets injured at training?
Yeah.
Seriously, Bray.
But yeah, that's the tipping done. And we've basically covered the games, haven't we? Sort of done our little predictions. But we're edging closer to today's guest, Lizzie Thomas, up next. We always say they're huge here at the Centre Square Podcast, and this man is no exception. Pick 53 in the 2006 AFL Draft, 205 games at North Melbourne, where he won 2 leading goal kicker awards, 7 games at Port Adelaide, all up, 329 goals, and he also represented the Indigenous All-Stars in 2009. Lindsay Thomas is the man I speak of. Lindsay, welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, lad.
Yeah, great to have you on. So you're originally from Port Lincoln, the same place as Eddie Betts and Sean Burgoyne in South Australia. Talk us about your upbringing into football, the Sandful for the Port Magpies, where I think you played about 6 games, and then eventually the Kangaroos taking a punt on you in the draft.
Yeah. So I'm a Port Lincoln boy. I played for Mellee Park Football Club back in the day. Look, I grew up with Eddie Betts, so we actually played a lot of footy together in our juniors. Our footy club, you know, we have a fair few footballers that originate from our footy club. You mentioned a few with Eddie and Peter and Sean Burgoyne, Graham Johncock, Brian Pickett, Daniel Wells, so just to name a few. So there's a few guys there from the same footy club as me. So, I got invited to move over to Adelaide at a pretty young age. So I was actually 15 at the time to live with the billet to pursue my footy career, which obviously AFL was my dream. But at a very young age, I had to make a lot of sacrifices. And look, I was a diehard Port Adelaide Magpie supporter growing up, so I would have been happy just to play for Magpies. But it all worked out for me, fortunately enough, and I was lucky enough to have a 12 and a half year career at the highest level. So very lucky.
Yeah, absolutely, it was a great career.
Yeah, so moving on to your debut, you kicked 0 goals 5 again in round 1 2007 against Collingwood. How well did you think you settled into the AFL environment and the game? How well did you think you settled into it?
You're right. My first game, MCG, probably the biggest club in Australia, Collingwood. It was daunting and nerve wracking at the same time, but it was a great experience. I was very lucky, and it actually took me probably 5-6 years to actually really, really settle in to Melbourne. There was a lot of pressure, especially being an AFL footballer. But I'm a country boy at heart, so I kind of had to learn a few things. One was how to be a professional AFL footballer. I mean, country boy, you know, I love my Maccas and I love my fast food and all the snacks, so I kind of had to really learn what it took to be an AFL footballer. So, you know, it did take me a few years to actually kind of come to grips with what it actually takes to be a professional footballer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of course. The first of your leading goal kicker awards came in 2010, and this was highlighted with a bag of 7 against Carlton and a goal with just a sock on versus the Lions. Talk us through your forward crafts and how much time you spent practicing crumbing drills and how much you take advantage of being a left footer, as they're rare to come across.
Yeah, look, I had to work extremely hard to kind of, to figure out kind of what actually was my craft and what actually worked for me. And, you know, what was my strengths and what was my weaknesses. So, you know, like I said, it kind of took me, you know, actually a few years to really kind of know what that was. You know, I was pretty lucky that I probably played with the best player I've ever played with Brent Harvey, and you know, he was a great mentor for me. And also guys like Shannon Grant, who I learned a lot off early days. And I had a lot of other really talented small forwards around me. So, you know, I was coming to work kind of like a, you know, like a book. I wanted to learn as much as I could. So, you know, like I said at the start, it took me probably 4 or 5 years to actually realise what worked for me. But also a lot of studying and a lot of hard work, you know, reviewing my opponents every week, kind of, you know, what the advantages I could get on my opponents week to week, what worked, you know, if I had to get up. The thing that I kind of figured out as my career went on is, you know, I played against a lot of players that were a bit taller than me. So one thing that really worked for me is I try to work them up the ground a lot and then beat them back. So, but, you know, like I said, that took a lot of time to kind of realise that, you know, that was one of the things that worked for me.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's probably the case for most players. The 2012 to 2015 period was probably the prime for you, kicking 38 goals in 2012, 53 in 2013 to finish 7th in the Coleman, which was the most for a small forward. Not sure how you did get in the All-Australian that year, but 45 in 2014 and then 34 and 37 in 2015-16, respectively. Do you think you performed better when the team was flying? And what about those preliminary finals storming from 8th position? Brad Scott probably doesn't get enough credit for that, and how long he did last for, does he?
No, he doesn't. I mean, you know, we got written off a lot, North Melbourne, you know, being one of the smaller clubs in Victoria, especially with a lot of big clubs in Victoria. But internally, the one thing we always knew is that we knew that if we just, and you've got to qualify to get to finals, and then as you can see, Western Bulldogs, perfect example, 2016. You just got to qualify, and then anything can happen. Anything can happen. So we knew, we had the belief that if we get there, we could really give it a good shape. And, you know, we did. You know, we played some really, really good footy. Probably the best games I've played were those 2 years in particular, 14 and 15, and when we did Reece Prelims. You know, so... Look, it was challenging, but you know it was really, really enjoyable too, because it kind of you know, just the fact that everyone used to write us off, that we weren't a chance, and you know, one game in 2014, I think we were probably 8 goals down at half time against Essendon, and you know, we came back and beat them, and then we played Geelong in the semi final, we finished top 2 I think, and we come out and beat them. So, you know, it was really enjoyable. We just loved the challenge. You know, the shinbone of spirit, as everyone knows it by. You know, we really just believe in it, and yeah, it was really enjoyable.
Yeah, and sometimes that can be better as well when you're sort of 7th or 8th. No real pressure, no one really has any expectations, as opposed to the teams that finish, you know, top 2, top 4, saying they should be at least making preliminary finals, etc.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, those years, we probably lost games that we should have won, and probably vice versa. We probably won games that we probably shouldn't have won. But, you know, so we knew, and the thing with that is we played well against all the top teams those years. So we were confident enough that if we got within, you know, if we qualified, because as you know, finals, what is a different whole new ball game. So internally, we were very confident.
Yeah, you're right. It's like another whole season.
Yeah, so you took a blinder remark on Adam Sard in 2015, which went global. Was this the best mark you've ever taken?
well, it doesn't help that. Well, it did help that he was only 5'1", I think. probably at AFL level was probably, yeah, one of the better ones. But, you know, always, always loved taking speckies as a youngster, and I think younger days when I was a bit lighter and, you know, a bit more springier, I probably took a few more better ones. But, no, that was, yeah, I don't know. I think Paul nearly knocked me out. It whacked me in the face that game. But, somehow, yeah, I held it. So, yeah, I'll take it.
Did you feel a bit stiff that that didn't win Mark of the Year? I think Nick Natanui got it that year.
I can't even remember, to be honest. Actually, I do remember Nick Nat. No, that was a good mark for a big ruckman. I think big Nick Nat deserved it. So, yeah, I would.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Great to the game, such as Dermot Brereton and Abercrombie do of ducking, saying it's not within the spirit of the game. How did it feel to be singled out like that when guys like Joel Selwood have been blamed to do it their whole career?
You know what, this is the first time anyone's ever asked me that. Look, you know, everyone's going to have their opinions. You know, they're commentators, that's their job. They're there to have opinions. To be honest, boys, it probably didn't really affect me too much at the time because, you know, I used to look at it and kind of just laugh at it because, you know, there were players in the game that were doing it week in, week out. But for some reason, I was always put as this poster boy, and it wasn't in the game. But, yeah, it didn't really affect me too much. I think later on, as I came towards the end of my career, and, you know, when I used to probably cop it a bit more, it took its toll towards the later end of my career. But you know what, everyone's within their opinion. It doesn't really affect me now. You know, I think it must have, I honestly don't know why they thought I was probably the one to point it at. Maybe it's because I was kicking goals. I'm not too sure. But it is what it is. I mean, stats don't lie. I don't even think I'm in the top 30 when the free kicks were given. So it is a bit laughable now when I think about it, but, you know, it is what it is. And I moved on from it pretty quickly, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, yeah, probably people are a bit jealous. But delisted at the end of 2017, Port Adelaide then gave you a lifeline on their rookie list with pick 12 in that rookie draft. Was that always going to be a one-year thing before your retirement? And how do you look back at 2018 with the Power?
Yeah, look, it all happened pretty quickly, to be honest. I mean, I didn't leave North by choice. You know, I was told that, you know, they were kind of going in a direction where they didn't see me in their plans. And, but, you know, I'm saying that I had a year to go on my contract. So we kind of verbally agreed that we'll go our different directions. And if it was up to me, I would have loved to finish my career at North Melbourne, but it wasn't to be. You know, but, yeah, look, when I had the conversations in Port Adelaide, it was always, you know, and England made it pretty clear what my role was, and I was happy with it because, you know, I wanted to come back to South Australia. I was in Victoria for nearly 12 years. So I moved there when I was 18 years old, so I was there for a long time. You know, I built a family over there, so I wanted to come back to South Australia, and, you know, I was pretty happy with the role that was given to me from Kenny, kind of as a more of a mentor / coach to help the young small forwards at Port Adelaide, which I was very happy to do. And look, he was pretty honest with me. He goes, you're probably going to find it hard to fit in a game, to get a game here, but we'd love you to be a part of our footy club, which, you know, I was a mad Port Power supporter, so I was happy to go over. Deep down, I knew I was going to play because, you know, I'm a competitor. I felt like I still had a little bit left in me. And I ended up playing 7 or 8 games for the club, which I thought, you know, at the start, and Kenny said I probably wouldn't. To be able to do that, I was more than happy to do. So, yeah, it all happened pretty quickly, the move from North to Port. But, you know, it wasn't by choice that I went to Port Adelaide. You know, I was told that, you know, you can stay, but you probably won't play. which, you know, I didn't agree with, but, you know, I got to come home with the family, and, yeah, I really enjoyed my time at Bower. It was good.
And you said that you were a massive Port Adelaide supporter. How heartbreaking was it, the Luke Shuey goal after the siren in that elimination final, even though, I suppose, your time at North was sort of over? Did you know you were going to Port to watch that game?
No, I didn't know at that time. I was actually funny because I was actually going for West Coast that night because my good mate Drew Petrie was at West Coast.
Yeah.
So, and the year before, you know, it was funny because the year before when he finished at the Kangas, we lost to the Crows in the elimination final at Adelaide Oval. So, you know, it would have been a bummer for him to lose to both Adelaide sides 2 years in a row. So, I was actually going for West Coast that night just for Big Drewy, and I, at the time, I didn't know I was coming to Port Adelaide. I was still thinking I was going to be a North Melbourne player, but man, that was a good game that night. I remember that. That was a really good game.
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah. So, last question from us before we move into the fan questions. There's one more after it. No doubt you would have been close with a number of players. Who were some of your best mates from your playing days, and are there any nasty sprays that came your way from the two North coaches you had, or Ken Hinkley?
I'm still pretty good mates with the two North boys, actually. Obviously, Brent Harvey is one of my really, really close mates, as is Daniel Wells. You know, so I've got a fair few of the young boys that I keep in contact with that I kind of mentored later on in my career. But, you know, a few of the older guys, like, you know, Boomer and Wellesley, Lockie Hampton, just to name issues. Yeah, I'm really good close mates, you know. So, you know, it's, I'm a North supporter now, so I still follow the guys, and we still have a bit of banter here to there. So, my first coach was Dean Ladley, so, I witnessed a few really good sprays. You know, he kind of sat back with my head down and didn't want to make eye contact with him. He was a very, he was a scary man, Dean Ladley, but he was a good coach, really good coach. And Brad, Brad gave me a few little ones here and there, but, nothing out of the, that you would expect. I think the old, giving a massive spray kind of done with now. I think it's more educating players. But, I haven't been on any really big ones, but I have witnessed a few really big ones that were, you kind of wished it wasn't you.
Yeah, I can imagine. 2 years out of the game now, how have you found the transition and being appointed of the, hopefully I pronounce this right, the Yankilala Football Club for 2020? And how have you enjoyed being part of the club?
Yeah, you know, I love it. I love being retired. I thought I would miss it more than I actually do now, but, I love it. I mean, I didn't want to, I knew the time was right to retire when I did. I didn't want to kind of, just hang on and get a bit greedy and think, oh, I want to go just for the sake of it. You know, they always say, you know, when the time is right to hang the boots up, and my time, my body was shot. I was just, I couldn't give any more. I had a really good nearly 13-year career, so I was pretty happy with that. So I had a year off where I just kind of enjoyed being, normal again. I'm not worrying about pre-season or anything like that, and then I've kind of got the little bug back now where, I'm coaching down at Yankalilla Football Club, which is a bit down south, so, I'm starting to get a little bit of the bug back now, and, I'm really, really enjoying it.
Yeah, it would be less intensity as well.
Oh, well, it's 2 days a week, not five, so, just really, play the game, coach the game, and have a bit of fun while we're doing it. Good.
Yeah, so moving into the fan questions now, Lindsay, we did get a heap, so thanks to everyone who sent them in at Centre Square Podcast on our social media. This first one comes from M Oh, 14-14. Do you barrack for North or Port, or do you still have a soft spot for both?
I barrack for North. I'm a North Melbourne supporter. And it's tough to watch them at the moment, but I still love my Roo boys. But I do have a soft spot for Port. It's good to see Port doing so well at the moment. I reckon they'll win the grand final this year. So, but, yeah, my household are all North Melbourne supporters.
Yeah.
Next question from Ben Piper. Which teammate helped you develop and grow your footy skills the most?
Yeah, nice. Probably three come to mind, actually. Daniel Wells, Brent Harvey, and Eddie Sandbury. They were really three key people that really took me under their wing and kind of helped me or keep me on the straight and narrow, really, and kind of supported me when things got really tough. I had really good support. So those three guys in particular.
Yeah, that's good.
Next one from Ethan Williams. Thoughts on North Melbourne and their current state?
Look, it's tough watching them at the moment. I won't lie, as a past player and a diehard Roo supporter, it's no doubt they're kind of they've chosen a direction that they feel they need to go down and look, as a past player and a supporter, you can only back Greece and the footy club and the decisions that they're making. They've made a few strange decisions, I won't lie, but I'll still support them. I mean, they've given me great opportunity. They've given me the opportunity to live a boyhood dream. They've been able to shape me into a good person as well. So, but it is tough to watch them at the moment, yeah. But I still love them and I still support them.
Yeah, I think there's about 11 players that they just delisted. This one comes from Jake Robb. Worst teammate to share a room with?
worst teammate. I really only shared a room with one teammate over my career. That was young Matty Campbell, one of my old teammates. And he wasn't too, apart from me snoring, he was actually not too bad. So usually I've got my own room. So, I'll say Matty and snoring.
Yeah.
All right, next question from Troy Constantine. It's a two-part question. Favourite ground to play on, and who was the best player to lead at when getting the footy?
My favourite ground to play on?
Yep.
MCG, no doubt. That's obviously the ground you want to play on, especially in the finals. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable atmosphere. And the best two guys that gave me 80% of my goals in my career were Daniel Wells and Brent Harvey. Really good kicks of the footy, and I always knew that I didn't have to break stride too much time when leading out to those guys.
Yeah, that'd definitely be handy.
Yeah, very nice. Next one from a North Melbourne Instagram account. What did Boomer say when you hand passed the ball to him in the goal square in his record breaking game?
It's funny because that week, I said to him, I'm gonna give you one this week. I'm gonna give you one. He goes, yep, no worry, because he's given me so much. And I don't know. I remember I marked the footy, I didn't really see him until I looked up and I kind of looked around me and I said, "Do you want it?" But I actually said to him, "Do you want it? Do you want it?" And he goes, "Yeah." Now on the little golf neck Brent is, he gave it to him and it worked out. So, but you can imagine if it didn't. But I actually said to him, "Do you want it? Do you want it?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he gave it to him and he kicked the sausage roll. So, it was good. Good memory.
Might have to owe you a beer after that one. But Brendan Budd, we just sort of touched on it before, but another word on what was it like playing in those two prelims in 2014, 2015?
Yeah, it was, we didn't get the ultimate success, and that was the premiership. But I think when you look at, when I look back at it, you know, we were never given a chance just to get past the first week of the final those years. You know, we ended up making two prelims with, back then, the, you know, people were calling our list, we were too old, and we, you know, we didn't have any good players apart from Brent Harvey and Daniel Wells. And, you know, it was a great achievement. You know, I look back at those and I only wish that we had prelims in Victoria, because we, both those prelims, we had to travel. We had to travel to Perth and Sydney those years. And, you know, you only, you know, consider if we played those prelims in Melbourne. Could have been a different story. But, yeah, look, I look back at them and I still think they're great achievements because, you know, no one gave us a chance at all. So, yeah, they were awesome, though. It was just, you know, the build-up to get there and win those big games against Essendon and, you know, Geelong. And then, it was good fun.
Yeah, you're right. Would have been unreal. The next, last one's from a few people. They're all similar questions, so we've just kind of put it into one. From Blake Rundle, Matt Taylor, Flynn Delaney, and Savannah GCH, I think that's the Instagram name. Most memorable match or final you've played in, and do you have a favourite goal out of the 329 you kicked?
Yep. Oof. You're putting on the study here. Memorable final. I think it has to be the Essendon one, 2014 for me. Well, but Essendon and Geelong, those two games. One was the Essendon one was my 150th, and we played in front of about 90,000. Getting slaughtered in the first half, and then we just, you know, we came out and, I don't know, we just flipped the switch, and we beat Essendon when we probably had no right to, in front of, you know, big crowd. And then, Geelong, you know, the week after, we were just star-studded side, and, you know, we come out and we just jumped them pretty early, and we, you know, fortunately enough for us, we held on, and, we got the win. I think those two games, for me, stand out, and obviously playing in Boomers, breaking the record game, that was a really big highlight for me, just because he's one of my best mates, and, that was a really good night. Favourite goal. I think the one with the salt probably would be up there. I used to do that all the time when I was a kid, but to do it on AFL level was I hit that flush too, by the way. That's sweet. So that's probably one of my good ones. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't really think. But that one there was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that was probably 50 out too, maybe.
Yeah, the timing was pretty sweet. Lindsay, that's about all we have for you today. Thanks for stopping by to have a chat. We really appreciate it. We wish you all the best for the future.
Love you, boys. Cheers for having me.
Thanks, Lindsay.
See you. Thanks.
See you, boys.
Lindsay Thomas departing us, boys, and we've come to the end of the episode. How do you think it went, boys?
That was very nice.
Yeah.
It was good to chat to Lindsay. It was good for a chat.
Yeah, it was good insight, so.
Yeah. Nice. Organised pretty late as well. I think we sent him the message not too long ago and he got back pretty fast, so yeah.
Grateful. Very good of him.
Yeah. We've been receiving some positive feedback lately. A few messages our way saying love what we're doing and keep up the good work, which everyone will know if you're on our pages at Centre Square Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. But bigger and better things come from the Centre Square Podcast, that's for sure. On 91.3 Sport FM Radio, your football headquarters, this is Ethan Roth saying goodbye.